Amen. So we've been discussing how to make God's word flesh in our lives, just like it was in Jesus' life. And we've covered meditating on the word and speaking on the word, or speaking the word itself. Those two things are musts. I mean, they are musts if we want God's word to live its life out through us. There's no other way around this. I have no doubt that Jesus, the word made flesh, was the greatest meditator who ever lived. And when you look through the Gospels, you can see he was constantly speaking God's word. He was always speaking both the written word of God, and then when he would get into a situation where he needed some special guidance and God would speak to him there, he would speak that word out. You remember when he was in the synagogue and he stood up and he began to read from the word? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Let me tell you, when he spoke that with conviction. He was reading from Isaiah 61, but he was talking about himself. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me." So the written word was huge. It was very important to him in life. And then in John 8:28, he said this. He said, "As my Father taught me, I speak these things." As his Father was talking, he said, "That's what I'm saying." And then in chapter 12, verse 49, he said, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak." And then Paul tells this to you and I, folks. He says in Colossians 3:16, the Message Bible, "Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives." Your life and my life should be absolutely dominated by the word of God. What's dominating your life today? Is it your natural appetite? Always thinking about something to eat? Then food's dominating your life. Is it your husband or your wife? Then they're dominating your life. Is it your job? Is that what consumes most of your time? Then it's dominating your life. Is it school? Is it your child? Whatever it is that you're talking about, that you're thinking on all the time, that's what's ruling your life. That's what's ruling my life. But my life should be absolutely structured out from the materials of God's written word. And meditating and speaking the word take us a long way down the road to that becoming a reality for us. But now there's a third thing that we need to add to these other two things. In fact, if we don't do this, then all of the meditating and speaking the word in the world is not going to make this word flesh itself out in us. The writer of Hebrews, he was quoting Old Testament prophecy, describing what the Messiah's attitude was going to be like when he came. And he said this, Hebrews 10, look at verse 5. This is Jesus talking, folks. He said, "Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire." He's talking to the Father. "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, or but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God." Folks, Jesus' attitude in life was to do the will of the Father. Not just to meditate it, not just to speak it, but to do it. And God's word is his will for your life. There are things that have been written in the volume of the book that are about you. Jesus knew he came to fulfill the written prophecies of the word of God. And he spoke with conviction. "It is written of me in the book." Therefore, he became that word made flesh in this world. He began to flesh it out before the eyes of the world and before the eyes of other people. You and I need to have the attitude of this. In the volume of this book, it is written of me. And I have come to do your will, O God. And what is his will? It is the written word of God. That is the will of God for us, both of us, all of us here. And whatever Jesus saw in this written word, Whatever personal word that he heard from the Father, he acted on it. In John 4:34, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." What is it that feeds your life, Jesus? What is it that really gets your motor running? He said, "I'll tell you what makes me run. It's to do the will of the Father, to do the will of God." His whole life was sustained by doing, acting on what the Father told him. That's what made him tick. Doing was the finishing touch on making God's word a living reality in his life. What's the end stage? Doing. It's enacted on what we see the word say. The world around him, they would never have been able to know who Jesus was, and they would have never known that he was the Word made flesh just because of what he said. And I'll tell you, they're not going to know that you're the Word made flesh just because of what you say either. There's a lot of talking going on in the body of Christ, but there's a very small percentage of doing that's actually taking place. A very small percent. The world knew that Jesus was the Word made flesh because of what he did. Of what he did. In John 10:25, said Jesus answered them, "I told you and you do not believe." Folks, there are going to be times you're going to tell people, "I'm this or that," or maybe you're wanting to tell them a little bit about who you are in Christ. You're going to tell them, and just like Jesus, they're not going to believe you. They're going to believe what they see. Jesus went on to say this, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." See, it's your actions that tell people who the real you is. The Message Bible said, "Everything I've done has been authorized by my Father." Actions that speak louder than words. Actions do that. In order for the Word to flesh itself out in us, we have to act on it. We absolutely have to. We have to have actions that correspond to what the Bible says about us. It is acting on the Word that brings our meditating and our speaking to their completed end. So actions are the manifestation of heart faith in the Word of God. Actions are. How do I know you've got faith? By what you do. By what we see you doing. And we see this principle in the second chapter of James when he was talking about Abraham taking Isaac to the mountain for sacrifice, just like the Lord told him to do. You know that was a hard thing. We read these stories like they're lullabies or something, like they're Mother Goose. Can't you imagine how difficult it was for a man to take his son to the mountain, knowing God said, "I want you to sacrifice him to me. I want you to bind him on an altar. And I want you to cut his throat like a sacrifice and sacrifice him to me." Now, you and I know the end of the story. But see, he didn't know that. And what did he do? Irrespective of his natural attachments of a father to the son, he just knew what God had told him, that son was going to bring forth many descendants. He took him to the top of the mountain, folks. He didn't have Genesis 22 to read the end of that chapter. He acted on something that seemed very, very difficult to him. In James 2:22, Weymouth said this, "His faith was cooperating with his actions, and that by his actions, his faith was completed." The word was perfected. That word perfected in the Greek means completed. Actions are what caused his faith to come to completion. Your faith in whatever the Word of God says will never come to its completion until you act on it. You'll abort it. You'll abort your faith if you don't act on it. It'll never come out. Now, I want to be fair to the context of this whole passage. James was teaching that when a person truly has the word of salvation working in their hearts, if you are really born again, then there will be some level of fruit that'll be produced in your life. There'll be a changed life that reveals itself in some form of action. There'll be something that comes out of that. It won't just be saying, "I got saved." If all you ever do after you supposedly get saved is say you got saved and your life never reveals anything, not even a dried up raisin, we'll just take anything, folks. We're just anything. But if it never reveals any kind of change, according to the Word of God, you weren't saved. And it doesn't matter if you wanted to be. It doesn't matter if the preacher said you were saved. It doesn't matter if you were baptized. It doesn't matter about any of that stuff. If from your life something did not come to the surface of your life, if something didn't manifest of a changed life, you were not saved. And the best thing to do is go ahead and accept that and get saved. Because if not, you're going to walk around deceiving yourself. There are going to be people who are deceiving themselves right now, right into hell. Because they'll just stand up and say, yeah, I was saved. But there was never a change. Folks, God can't move into you and there not be a change in your life. It can't happen. But the word within us will work itself to the surface of our lives so that other people can see it. It's just going to do it. They're going to be, if you get saved, there's going to be some form of love in your life toward other people. It's just going to happen. You're going to be inclined to show people forgiveness. There's going to be a joy about your life. There'll be a peace about your life. I'm talking about the things that demonstrate the change that take place in a person's life when they've been truly born again. However, even though this is true, that doesn't mean that what's coming to the surface is in its fullest yet. There were things I showed in my life right after I got saved, but it was only minuscule compared to what's coming to the surface now. Because there are things I had to do to cooperate with the word of salvation that was in me to cause it to come and fully flesh itself out in my life. And there's going to be things that all of us are going to have to do. We're going to have to deliberately make the choice to act on the word that we've heard through all the meditating we've been doing, through the speaking that we've been doing, in order to draw it to the surface and let it come out. You have to deliberately choose to act on what the word says. If you're going to bring that word out to its fullest, thank God for the word of salvation that's in me. But I want it out here. I want it working outwardly here. I have to make choices to do what the word says to give it the release. It's in there. It's waiting to come out. But I've got to channel it out. And the word of God and faith create that channel. Now, here's proof of this. Now, James, in his book, flip over to James, the first chapter. He's writing to Christians. Now, they have the word of salvation working in them. And we know, again, one of the effects of the word of salvation is that we will love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. 1 John 3:14 says, we know we passed from death to life. How? Because we love the body of Christ. We love them. Yet, these Christians were having lots of conflict between them. Now, one of the manifestations of salvation is love. And these people were truly saved. Yet they were still having a lot of conflict. The word was not fleshing itself out in them automatically. And it was not fleshing itself out to its fullest. Do you see that? They were going to have to do something with what was already in them. You and I have to, even though we've got something in us, folks, that's not enough. We've got to do something to cooperate with what God put inside of us. In James, the first chapter, look at verse 19. He said, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Ooh, that's some good advice. He said, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. See, they've been cranky. They've been acting up on each other. They've been gnawing on each other, chewing on each other's hind end. And then he said this, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Overflow. Overflow of wickedness coming from Christians. And receive with meekness the implanted word. What implanted word? The word of salvation. See, there was a word already implanted in them, but it wasn't coming out fully yet. He said, which is able to save your souls. He's telling them, take off that old dirty clothing you used to wear before you got saved. And put on the new clothing that goes with a Christian. Put on the new stuff here. Change your spiritual identity to who you are in Christ. That's what Paul would say. Put off the old man, put on the new. There's been an implanted word in you, but you're not thinking right. You're going to have to change your thinking. How are you going to do that? You're going to have to meditate, speak, and act. Meditate, speak, and act. And James points out that, again, It was implanted in them, but now they're going to have to let that word teach and train them to the point that it comes to the surface. And without acting on what they already know, it's not going to flesh out. You can be saved and the word have minimal impact in your life. You can be born again. God Almighty can be living in you, yet it have a minimal impact. Not no impact, or you're not saved. But a minimal impact in your life to where you show very little of what's in you. You're just keeping it all bottled up. It's never coming to the surface. They and we need to show corresponding actions that agree with what we say we are and believe. That's the final stage in letting this thing come to its completion, acting on what we know. Sometimes, folks, we just have to make the choice to act on the word, even though our mind and emotions are screaming no. They're saying, don't do that. If somebody comes up and insults you, they say something that really ticks you off, you've got to make a choice. Now, the word of salvation has been implanted in you. The love of God is in you. But you're going to make a choice of what's going to flesh out. And sometimes it's merely flesh. Sometimes it's not anything of the Spirit of God at all. Sometimes it's not the Word of God at all. But it should be. That's normal for us. Reacting by re-insulting those people is not normal for you. See, if you understand who you are in Christ, you know what I just said. It's not normal for you to insult people that insult you. You bought the lie that it was normal and that it was weird if you didn't. No, that's normal for an unbeliever. The unbeliever is the one who retaliates. That's normal for them, but not for you. Not for me. I'm different. Something's happened in me that has not happened in an unbeliever. That makes me different than them. And one of those things is, if they get on my bad side, I don't try to get on theirs. That's normal to be a child of the living God here now. Our hearts and minds need to see that we will act on the Word of God. We will obey the Word of God even in the hard moments of life. That's part of training our heart and mind to let the Word become flesh. Acting. My mind and my heart need to see me do the Word. It needs to see me get in a hard situation. Something where it would be easy to do something else because my thinking may be trying to go that way. So I need to make the decision. I'm going to act on the Word of God and I'm going to show my mind who's the boss. I'm going to show my that flesh nature. I'm going to show it who's the boss. And it's not the boss. I'm the boss of me. Kids sometimes will tell people, you ain't the boss of me. That's what you need to tell the flesh. You ain't the boss of me. Jesus is my boss. So I'm not going to act on anything you say. I'm going to act on what the Word of God says. Jesus gave me the Word, and I'm going to act on what the Word says. And one of the biggest mistakes that people make is that they say the Word's true, but then they act like it's not when they get in a bind. That's where talk gets cheap. Oh, they say, oh, it's the Word of God. I believe it. I believe it from Genesis to Revelation. It's right here. This is it right here, man. I tell you what, I just believe the Word of God. I just believe what God said. They say it, but then they get in a bind and they don't act like it. Just a little pressure. To act on the Word of God means that we go about our business in life, we make plans, and we go in our daily activities depending upon the fact that what the Word says about us is really true. We say it's true, but we need to know it's true by acting like it's true. Do you act like the Word is true? All the time. Every time. See, that's the goal. And it's not that we're just putting on an act. It's that we believe it. To the point to where the Word will take you over after a while. And the actions will become something you'll just naturally make in many situations. Now, there's always going to be hard situations. You're going to have to make the choice to do what you know to do without feeling a thing. All of your feelings are never going to 100% line up with the Word of God. You've got a body, and that body contains a flesh nature that is constantly warring against your soul, Peter said. Therefore, as long as you're in this body, it's going to stir up feelings in you from time to time that are not going to agree with the written word of God. That's where you choose to do what God said instead of what your feelings, old demonic feelings, say. Then it's going to become real in your lives. Acting on the word of God gives the word a bridge to cross from my thought life into this outward life. Somehow the word's got to get from in here to out here. Actions is what does that. It builds the bridge. It lets it come out into the physical realm. Now James gives us a warning. Look at verse 22. Sorry about my voice. Friday night I got to hollering at the TV. I was watching golf and they were hitting some good shots. And the better the shot, the more I yelled. And I got excited. I was living vicariously through those men. Therefore, this. Look at verse 22. He said, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Listen to this. Weast translation. He said, moreover, keep on becoming doers of the word and stop being hearers only, reasoning yourselves into a false premise and thus deceiving yourselves. There are people today, many Christians, they have reasoned themselves into the idea that they are somewhere spiritually that they're not. They have convinced themselves that I am at a certain level when they're nowhere near that particular level. They're not even close, and that is a huge problem. They've deceived themselves, James said, because all they've done was hear the word and they've never done anything with it. You show me somebody that loves to hear the word. Oh, they listen to preachers on podcasts. Oh, they go and they download everything off of YouTube. Oh, they read their Bible. Oh, they love to listen to this one or that one or go to meetings and go to church all the time. Oh, they love all that and they never do anything with it. James said, you have deceived yourself. You, because of what you've heard, you think you're moving in a spirituality that you're nowhere near. And the deciding evidence is the fact, not that you're not meditating it, not that you're not reading and studying it, but the fact that you're not doing it. See, the real tale is in the doing. That's how you know if anything's really happening in your life. Until you practice or do it. A lot of people love 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, we're going to go read 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. It's beautiful. Makes me cry. It's so beautiful. And I'm going to get into the Amplified Bible. It's even better. And they read and they meditate verses 4 through 8. Love is kind. And they read the expanded volume. Of course, the Amplified Bible is the women's Bible because it just keeps on and on talking. But anyway, come on, guys. That's your chance to amen me. I need some help up in here. It just wouldn't shut up. But anyhow, it's got like 3 pages on verses 4 through 8. But anyhow, they go in there and they read it and they meditate it and meditate it and meditate it. And then the husband walks in the room and, you know, he's throwed his sock on the floor. And let me tell you what you don't see is kindness and gentleness. None of that. I done told you, man. I done told you. You think you get some supper, you better get it before you come home. Not tonight. I am tired of picking up after you. You have wore me out. And then they give them the silent treatment. And then the man gets happy. Have y'all seen the commercial? Yeah. You've seen the commercial where the girl calls her boyfriend up on the phone and says, I'm going to give you the silent treatment. Calls him up on the phone to tell him, I'm going to give you the silent treatment. He said, really? You know, you called me. He said, and then she just goes quiet and she starts making faces. call them up to tell them, I'm going to give you the silent treatment from now on. And here's why. Please don't hate me. See, folks, talking the word is one thing, but doing it's something else altogether. Until we start acting on it as a lifestyle, and I mean a lifestyle, that word is never going to transform us. It's never going to transform us. And as soon as you get into a bind and the word of God should be working, you'll find out whether you've deceived yourself or not. You're going to find out whether you've been acted on the word or whether you've just been getting really acquainted with the word. And there's a huge, huge difference. You get in a bind and suddenly, you know, you thought you were somewhere and you acted something else. Anybody ever get disappointed in yourself? You thought, buddy, I have really grown. I have really made some great spiritual strides. And then you get in a situation where you thought you conquered it. You thought you had this sucker licked. And suddenly, you did something just crazy. Something that somebody that's unsaved would have done. What happened? Well, we had ourselves deceived. As long as everything was good, we could deceive ourselves. But when the pressure came on, the real deal really came out. Sometimes it's a good thing for us to be in difficult situations just to help us locate where we're at. And God's not bringing all this into your life, and He's trying to teach you something through it. Oh, all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to His purpose. And they hadn't even read the chapter. They pulled that one verse out of the whole chapter 8 of Romans. We'll be talking about that on our Sunday night. That ain't got nothing to do with everything coming into your life being from God. Amen. Read it in context. He's saying the things that God does in your life is working together for your good. Not everything the devil's doing. Amen. You just read it without understanding and you'll see what I'm talking about. But we walk around thinking we're somewhere we're not. Self-deceived. This is a statement. Remember this if you don't get anything else. Mental concepts are great imitators of true heart belief. Mental concepts are great imitators of true heart belief. You will think you're somewhere in your mind spiritually, and it will fool you. It will deceive you until the pressure is applied, and then you begin to act something differently. That's when truth comes out. The truth of where we really are in that situation. And here's how it happens. Look at verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, here's what he's like. Here's how it happened. He's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Now, mirrors in that day, they were just polished metal, and what they would do, they would take them and lay them on a table. So people, in order to check themselves out and fix their do or whatever, they would come up and stoop over this table. They hadn't figured out you could nail that sucker to a wall yet. They would come up and stoop over this table to get a look just to see how everything was all put together up here. And the problem was, stooping over, you ever stoop over like this for very long? Your old back starts to hurt. It would become very uncomfortable very quickly. So they would spend just a little time at the mirror. And then they would stand up and walk away. And that's what James is referring to. People are coming to God's word. And they're stooping over it. And they're just taking a quick, brief glance, a look. And then they're standing up and walking away. And those mirrors weren't very clear anyway. The Bible is. But those mirrors weren't. But they would walk away and just looking all crazy. They would forget what they looked like. They hadn't stayed in the mirror long enough to really tell to where it caused them to make some changes. They wouldn't stoop over the mirror long enough to make adjustments. Because, you know, the longer you look in a mirror, the more you see what's wrong with you. I don't spend much time in a mirror. There's just too much going on. It is just information overload. I can't take it. Ego breaks down into nothing. Walk away feeling horrible. Meditating the word, folks, is a powerful tool. The word looks means, again, to stoop over near something in order to look more closely, to ponder it. He's saying they were to look over and to meditate. We need to be looking into the word to ponder, to meditate what it says. This word is a mirror. It tells you who you are in Christ. It tells you what you look like. But what happens is we come and we look at it, but if we're not looking at it long enough to where it calls us to make adjustments, to make changes, then we're deceiving ourselves about what we really look like. The word really hadn't penetrated into our hearts yet. It's still only in our heads. If you're not making if you're not looking in the word and it's not causing you to make changes outwardly in your life, you're not getting the word in your heart. It's just playing with your mind. It's only when we meditate and speak the word to the point it inspires us to act that it starts fleshing itself out. If you stay in the word and suddenly it makes you want to do what you're seeing, something in you starts to rise up and says, I got to make this change. And then you make the change. Not just I got to make the change, but you actually go and do something about it. Now you've hit the place. Now you've hit the place. If you're meditating and speaking the word isn't going on, if it's not inspiring you to act on the word, then you're not there yet. Get the word in you to the degree it inspires you to do something about your life. Not just, oh, that was good. Oh, did you read it in that translation? Oh, I just love to hear him preach on that topic. That's not enough. It's when it causes you to make a change. And that's what James says next. Look at verse 35. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's love, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Here's Kenneth Wiest again. He does a great job. But he who with eagerness and concentration has pored over the perfect law of liberty. Concentration and eagerness. That's how you approach the word. Not, oh, it's the Bible. But with concentration and with eagerness, he said you pore over it. He said, and has continued in it. That means you stay in it. You don't just make a quick stoop over the word. That's called daily devotions. That's what most people mean when they say, I'm going to do my daily devotional. They're saying, I've got a little old book about this big with a little old page about this big, little old 4-inch page on it, and I'm going to read that as my daily devotional. I wish every one of those books would be burned and sent down to the pit of hell. They're helping people deceive themselves. They're only getting enough to make them feel good and saying, I got in the word today. Let me tell you, you may have got a little bit in the word, but the word didn't get in you. Because you didn't come to it with eagerness and with concentration, nor did you pore over it. He said, not having been a hearer who forgets, but a doer who works. He's talking about somebody acting on what they've seen. This person shall be prospered spiritually in his doing. Who? How's he going to be prospered? In the doing. In the meditation? Not alone. In the speaking? Not alone. Those things are good. We've talked about them. But the real key to bring it to its completion is in the doing. I said it's in the doing. You know, ladies look into a mirror sometimes, and why are they looking into it? To make adjustments. Sometimes we as Christians, we look at the Word, and it shows us our face. It shows us who we are. We let our little Jesus get all blown out of place sometimes. Sometimes we need to apply some more love to our lips. We need to get a little purity around our eyes to block out the harmful rays of sin. And it gets a little uncomfortable sometimes because James said we need to look. We need to ponder. We need to meditate on this. You know, like you really move. You ever been at a mirror and then you saw something and you got real close to the mirror? What's that hanging out there? Are you going to mash it on something? Or you got a pair of tweezers? You going to pull it on something? Oh! They got little cutters for that, by the way. You don't have to pull a nose hair. You get real close. You're getting intense with it. That's the way you have to approach God's word. You say, uh-oh, ooh, I need to have that burn off. Yeah. Woo, ooh my, woo, boy, that's ugly right there. My, whatever happened to that? Mm. That's the way we're supposed to look at God's Word. This is what it takes to make the Word of God work in your life. And if you're not doing it this way, that's why it's not working. I hope the lights have coming on to you this morning. This is why it's not working. We need to absorb it and then act accordingly. You're not going to go out of the house with something hanging out of your nose. Well, then why in the world spiritually would you want to go out of the house looking like a jerk that day? Huh? Acting like a jerk. There is an immense difference between knowing who we are in Christ on paper and then manifesting the world to the world who Christ is in us. A huge difference. When the storms of life come again, you're going to find out whether you've been merely hearing the word only and deceiving yourselves. You're going to find out. Sunny days let us fool ourselves. We just study and meditate ourselves right into a head fog. We just think we're somewhere, and we're just totally, we're like we're on dope. We're just like drugged up. Oh, I'm doing great. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. Living for the Lord? Oh, yeah, I'm living for Jesus. Then we go around to the deacon window at the liquor store. I'll take some of that Jack. I don't know how you order that stuff. I've never been to a liquor store in my life, I don't guess. Have I? If I have, it's before I got saved. And I wasn't a drinker before then. Huh? I have. Uh-oh, she said I have. That's what I was going to say. It ain't been since. But that was that old man you're talking about, the guy that looked like me. Jesus killed him. Don't be doing me that way. I won't ask anymore. That's the end of that. Now, here's a simple way to put all this. Don't make your plans around what the devil's doing. Don't make your plans around what the devil's doing. If your body has six symptoms one night, don't immediately start making plans to take off work tomorrow. If you do, you're making plans around what the devil's doing. Don't start making plans to stay home tomorrow because you're having symptoms tonight. Plan to be there physically well. Why? Because Isaiah 53:5 says, "By his stripes I am healed." You need to meditate, speak, and act on the word. If before you leave home one morning, it seems like everything's going wrong, don't plan to have a bad day. Let Nehemiah 8:10 rise up and cause you to act and say, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Amen. Let that word flesh out in you. Don't make plans to just have a day. If while you're at work somebody says something nasty about you, don't plan to retaliate. Matthew 5:44, you need to act on this. He said, "Forgive them, pray for them, and look for a way to bless them." Let that word flesh itself out in you. Yeah. If you get a call late one afternoon from the bank and they say you need to get up there to cover a check you've written, don't plan to go broke. Plan for 4:19 to come to pass. God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. And don't write another hot check. If you don't have money in the account, do not write the check. I said, Now, I know this. There have been certain excesses that people have taken with some of the things that we've been talking about in this series in the past. But it does not do away with the fact that acting on the Word of God is one of God's New Testament commands. When Abraham received God's Word that he was going to have a child, he started making plans for him. It says in Romans 4:19-21, listen to the Message Bible. This is good. Oh, this is good. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said. That's what you and I have to do. We have to plunge into the promises of God and come up strong and act like they're true. Yes. We have to cooperate with what he said by meditating it, speaking, and acting on it. Everything God has said is true. You say that mentally, but what is your heart saying today? Is the word abiding in your heart? If you're not acting like it's true, then it's not true to you. The word is true. It's just not working in your life or my life if we're not acting on it. You're going to act on what you believe. I guarantee you. It's just the way you work. Whatever you believe on your heart is what directs your life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth talks. Out of the heart, man walks this life out. Out of it spring the issues of life, the rivers of life. Now, if what is in you is good, you're going to have good actions. If what is in you is not good, you're going to have those kind of actions. If you don't believe God's word on healing, you're going to act sick when you start feeling sick. You're going to start acting. You're going to start making plans around the devil. Oh, well, the devil did this. Well, I just better do this then. Then the devil's dictating your life instead of the word of God. Isn't that right? It's time for us to stop living a beat down, defeated life and to take our place and let God's word become flesh in us just like it was in Jesus. You know, sometimes we see a child throwing a fit and say, boy, he's really acting out. And he is. He's acting out the flesh. That flesh nature, he's just a little flesh wad. He's acting fleshly. You want to stripe his legs up like a zebra. But see, we need to act out as Christians. Don't be looking at Ann. I saw one or two looking at you. They need to leave you alone. Shut up out there. You and I need to be acting out. Y'all need a little boy at the house. Some of y'all need a little boy about 2 years old. Not me, but y'all. Child for rent.
It doesn't work
because
then they behave.
Well, I thought, what's happened around here? Oh, precious Lord here. Let me take control so I can wind this down. We need to act out. We need to act out on the word of God. What it says, that's what I need to act according to. And until I start doing that, I could just be deceiving myself this morning. E.W. Kenyon described making the word flesh this way. He said, he is more than an admirer of the word. See, a lot of people admire the word of God. It's beautiful. But he said, the person who's a doer is more than an admirer of the word. He is more than a student of the word. The word is living in him. He is living so that the word is a part of his very being. He walks in love. His whole conduct is governed by the new law of the new creation. And he goes on to say, no matter what the crisis may be, no matter what the testings may come to us, we do not forget what manner of man we are. That's what it takes, folks. Realizing the need to make the word flesh, meditating on the word, speaking the word until it begins to compel us to act upon that word. And at that point, it begins to live itself out through us. And we can say, just like Jesus, it is written in the volume of the book, I have come to do your will, my God. Let's stand up.